Will last week's success quiet commercial space detractors? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. We're going to spend a couple more days this week with edited excerpts of the reporter questions and SpaceX answers, which followed last Wednesday's historic commercial orbital transportation system demo flight. Today's first questions for SpaceX CEO Elon Musk deal with the impact of the flight on those who said it wouldn't work, and what this means for potentially shortening the timeline for the first attempt to dock an automated Dragon spacecraft with the International Space Station.
We're ready now to take questions. Please give your name and affiliation when the microphone comes to you.
Marcia Dunn, Associated Press for Mr. Musk. I'm wondering, what was that moment like for you when you heard about the three parachutes being deployed, and do you think that your success today will finally quiet your detractors regarding commercial crew efforts?
Well, it was definitely a moment of elation and great relief. Drogue deploy and main chute deploy were the riskiest points in the mission. So when those main chutes came out, it was a done deal. It's just mind-blowingly awesome. So as far as will it quiet our detractors? Well, you know, I think if there really are people who are going to sort of still find a way to cast aspersions on what was done today, I pity them. It's because it wouldn't make any sense. There'll be fighting on the wrong side of yesterday's war. You know, there's a lot of people in the world, and there will be still some who are negative, but I suspect far fewer. Some level of skepticism was entirely warranted for what we're doing, because it is very difficult. I mean, if you consider the class of vehicle that both, you know, the lifter and the Falcon 9 Dragon, previously these have just been done by the Soviet Union. I mean, actually, just I say Soviet Union, not Russia, because Russia has not developed new things since the Soviet Union. China and the United States, with sort of their collective industries behind them. This was done with 1,200 people, and we're vertically integrated as well. So it's not as though there's a huge amount we make the engines, the structure, the avionics, and conduct the launch operation. Although I should point out, it's not because of some dogmatic fixation on being vertically integrated. It's simply that the space supply chain is very shallow, and very often there's only one supplier of a component, and it's very expensive. So if you don't become vertically integrated, then you can't change the equation on space. It stands to reason that to the degree you use legacy components, you inherit the legacy cost structure. And I think this is a very important point to bear in mind. I know there's sort of a lot of impetus feeling in some quarters to reuse a lot of the shuttle components. But again, I'd say to the degree that you use legacy components, you inherit the legacy cost structure. And that just needs to be considered.
Okay, Bill?
Bill Harwood, CBS News, with two questions. And I'm not sure if it's for Gwen or for Elon, either one. Can one of you maybe give us a better sense of what sort of orbital operations you did? I mean, I know you were doing maneuvers. Were these mimicking, you know, space station rendezvous sorts of maneuvers, or was it just basic exercise of the thrusters? And I was curious how the guidance navigation control went. Gwen, you said you had good luck with Tedra, so obviously it worked well. But any additional detail would be great. And my second question was, for Elon probably, given the success of this flight, can you give us any update on the schedule going ahead with the two remaining COTS demo flights? Thanks.
Sure. So, yeah, the maneuvers that were conducted were very similar to the sort of maneuvers that we would conduct in going to the space station and berthing with the space station. There's really, I would say, there's no meaningful difference in complexity between the maneuvers that were conducted today and what will be conducted in going to the space station. All the thrusters worked just exactly as expected. And like I said, we've got 18 thrusters, but really, six of them failed, well, it depends on which six, but any two thrusters can fail, and we still have full authority to translate and rotate in any direction. I think I feel very confident in being able to conduct the proximity operations and berthing operation with the space station with the next flight. You know, in our discussions with NASA, NASA had said that if this flight goes well, then they would strongly consider allowing us to go directly to the space station on the next mission. And I'm hopeful that that's what NASA will allow us to do. Of course, we need to carefully examine the data from this mission and make sure that it's all good and everything. But I'm optimistic that the next flight will be to the space station. There are some additional elements that need to be added to Dragon for the space station mission, such as the solar panels and some improvements in redundancy in the flight computer, mostly in the electronics area. I feel highly confident that we can make it to station on the next flight and that we can do so by approximately the middle of next year. Probably summer next year is a rough guess. I'd say that's if things go reasonably well from here. There won't really be any changes to the structure or the engines. The telemetry remains largely the same. So it's really a relatively small delta between what this vehicle and the one that would go to the station. So that's why I feel really confident you'd be able to get there.
In a moment, a question about the one big thing that didn't work and wasn't really expected to. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Freedom through performance. At Sirius, performance is not simply the measurement of a single design parameter. Rather, it's a total package. It's optimum balance of speed, efficiency, comfort, safety, ease of flight, and quality. We call it Sirius Flying 2.0. Aren't you ready to feel the freedom?
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Piper Match.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Welcome back to the ANN special feature. We're listening to edited portions of the post-mission SpaceX press conference from last week, and reporters' questions are fielded for the most part by CEO Elon Musk. The mission was a stunning success overall, but there was this one thing.
Bobby Block for the Orlando Sentinel. Elon, two questions. First, were you able to recover the first stage? And then the second question...
Oh, Bobby... Lest you ask that question.
And the second question is, not long ago the Deficit Reduction Committee was talking about maybe it may be a good idea to lower the deficit by not funding commercial spaceflight. And given that everyone here is talking about what a great public-private partnership that was, I was wondering if that you thought the success of today's mission was another reason to rethink that.
But we were not able to recover the first stage of Falcon 9, but I want to be clear that was never a mission. That was a nice to have, sort of a little icing on the cake from a SpaceX standpoint, but completely unrelated to any of the space station servicing missions or anything like that. A good thing I can say though is that we were able to get a lot more data on the reentry of the first stage, which gives us. We were able to get a little further down, a little closer to Earth, and a lot of data. And we actually, this time around, built a little specialized black box, like they have on aircraft, that collected telemetry, video, and so forth, so we can actually try to figure out where do we need to improve the thermal shielding, where do we need to improve things structurally, and that is going to give us a much better shot at recovering future first stages. So we're sort of incrementally getting closer and closer to recovering the first stage. No one's ever recovered a first stage, a liquid first stage intact. So it's a very difficult thing to do because you can't just apply huge amounts of thermal shielding and massively buff it up, because then you'll lose so much payload to orbit that you won't be able to fly. So It has to be a very carefully sculpted armor, if you will. And even a tiny chink in the armor is enough to take it out. But we're gradually covering all the chinks in the armor, optimizing it all. So, I do feel very confident of being able to recover that first stage. I'd be very disappointed if we haven't recovered a first stage intact in, let's say, 2 to 3 years. Intact to the degree that it can be flown again. Of course, we need to either find a customer that's willing to fly that stage or fly it ourselves to prove it out. But I do feel very, very strongly about reusability. I think it's incredibly fundamental. It's the holy grail of orbital space flight. It's incredibly difficult. I mean, it's just that's why it hasn't been done. There's some out there who'd say it's impossible. And a truly reusable orbit-class rocket is the fundamental breakthrough, the fundamental invention necessary for humanity to expand beyond Earth. In the absence of that, we will be confined to Earth forever, apart from perhaps the occasional flags and footprints mission. Just as if Columbus's ships had not been reusable, there would be no America. The recommendation to cut commercial crew was ultimately not in the final published report, so they got rid of that when they realized that they were completely wrong. Cutting commercial crew would not decrease the deficit, it would increase the deficit. It would also mean that there would be no American access to space. So, any politician who wishes to increase the deficit and not have American access to space, go ahead and cut. But I think they were just misled. I don't know by whom, but I think they were just unfortunately were given bad information, which they then eventually realized was bad information, which is why it didn't make it into the final report.
We'll continue tomorrow with questions and candid answers regarding last week's Falcon 9 and Dragon demo mission. Elon Musk is the founder, CEO, and chief technology officer of Space Exploration Technologies. Find out more on the web at spacex.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.